So today's Gospels and the other readings of today all point towards one thing, and that's the second coming of Christ, the signs of the end of the days. And when you read this Gospel in a somewhat narrow-minded view or the first glance, you tend to be afraid. There's a tendency to be very scared. You know, Christ is speaking about all these wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters, and it's all very scary and terrifying things. And they're scary because they're things that are to come, and so naturally it stirs up concern within each of us. It is especially scary when you consider that all these things Christ spoke about are happening right now. You turn on the TV to the news at any time of the day, and you're bound to see some sort of disaster or tragedy that has just happened in a world that is getting increasingly darker with each passing day. But it's not in the nature of Christ to try and scare us. In fact, even when you read a passage like this, it's so full of comfort and encouragement from our Lord. You know, even yesterday when Father Dan asked me to give the talk today, I was reading through the passage and I started to get a little bit concerned, you know, not just because of all these scary things, but I didn't know what I was going to say. You know, what am I going to say? Like, it's tough to speak about. How am I going to say anything? And I planned this, you know, extravagant way to politely turn down Father Dan until I got to verse 11, which read, "It is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." So that was enough comfort for me to say, you know, Hada Rabuna, you know, I'll do it. Also, Christ didn't need to tell us all these things. He didn't need to warn us about all these coming occurrences. He could have left it as one big surprise to all of us, but out of his love and mercy, he decided to warn us, to advise us and counsel us. He knew that his words would be valid for 2,000 years. It wasn't just a warning to his disciples, it was a warning to every generation that followed, to me and to you. And more than that, we see how the love of God is going to be so prominent even at the end of days, that he promised to shorten it. He promised that we would not have to suffer these disasters for long, and that those who love him won't even see these things. God will spare them. So if Christ is not trying to scare us, then what is he doing exactly? I've always had this theory that the last verse in every Sunday's Gospel is almost like the punchline, the message that God is trying to send us on that particular day. And today, for me, was no different. In the final verse of today's Gospel, Christ speaks and he says this, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the day when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Watch. Be prepared. He wants us to be ready now. All of these things are happening now. We can't keep saying, you know, it's okay, I'll be holy when I grow up. You know, we tend to do that all the time. You know, we calculate the average life expectancy of a male or female is about 80 years. So we say, okay, well, you know, I'm 21 now, so I've got about 10 to 15 years to mess around. Then, you know, I'll pick up my Bible, start getting into that a little bit more. When I'm about 45, you know, I'll start confessing all the things that I did now. And then when I'm 65, you know, that's when I'll go hard. You know, like I'll have a solid 15, 16 years before I die. So, like, I'll take this Christianity thing seriously then. But if this Gospel is testament to anything, is that Christ is coming very, very, very soon. Christ said this to his disciples then, and Christ was warning them back then so long ago, then we can never really be sure when the time is. St. Paul says in his epistles to the Corinthians, "Now is the day of salvation." So today is the day that we need to be ready. Today is the day that we need to start preparing ourselves. Father Mark once told us a story about, you know, him and Abuni Aub were going on visitation. And he went to pick up Abuni Aub. And when Abuni Aub came in the car, Abuni Aub turned around to Father Mark and he was like, "Do you want to work out?" And Abuni Mark, you know, is like, "Yeah, sure, Abuni, you know, I'd love to work out with you sometime." He's like, "When do you want to work out?" And Abuni Aub turns around and he's like, "Now." Like, Abuni Mark's like, "Now? Like, we have a visitation, you know, they're waiting for us." And he's like, now, let's do it now. So they went in, you know, went into Abuni Aub's house and they bench pressed and everything. And I love that concept, you know, it's the same concept that Abuni wouldn't even wait till after the visitation. Now was the time. If he waited, maybe he would have fallen into laziness or just not been bothered. So today is the day, same with us, same with our spiritual lives. Today is the day that we need to start preparing. Today is the day we need to be ready. At the end of time, when all these things have taken place, Christ will say to us one of two things. If we choose to prepare ourselves, then he will say, and we read this in the absolution of the midnight prayer, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the creation of the world." So he has prepared a place for us. He has prepared a place for us. We now have to prepare ourselves to inherit this place. You know, we read in the Catholic and the Pauline today, there's a phrase in the Catholic and the Pauline that says, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. So we need to establish our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. And if we do that, then we should expect to hear these joyful words. If not, then we'll hear him say this, I never knew you, depart from me. How can Christ say that he never knew me? It's almost contradictory to everything he says to us in the Bible. He says he knew us from before we were born, and that he knows the number of hairs in our heads. He knows everything about me, everything I've done, everything I've said, everything I will do, everything I will say. How can he then come and say that he never knew me? You know, in the language of the Bible, the word know means to have an intimate relationship with someone, generally a physical one, which is why it says that Saint Mary never knew Joseph, but rather that she remained a virgin her entire life. And so when Christ tells us that he never knew us, what he's really saying is, you never took the time to have an intimate relationship with me. You never made the effort to make me a familiar part of your day. You never wanted to know me. How can you say you love me if you never knew me? I actually understood this idea from something Father Daniel once said. He was explaining to us how love is knowledge, love is knowing. And when we love someone, we know everything about them. And he gave the example of someone going to their parents. Let's say me, I go to my parents and I tell my parents, Mom, Dad, I found the one. I found the girl. I found this Amura and I love her. She's the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And my parents say, oh, Habibi, you know, we're so excited for you. What's, you know, we're so happy for you. Wait, what's her name? I say, I don't know, but I love her. What does she do? I'm not sure. She's in uni, I think, but I love her. Habib, what does she look like? I think she has some hair, you know, she's got hair, a couple eyes, but I love her. How can I say that I love her if I don't know anything about her? And it's the same thing with Christ. How can I say that I love him if I don't take the time to know him, if I don't take the time to build an intimate relationship with him? So this is the way we need to be preparing ourselves. This is how we should spend our time here on earth, by getting to know him in an intimate way, in every way. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything. Getting to know him now. And so, we'll just talk about three practical ways we can get to know Christ and prepare ourselves so that we can be ready for when he finally comes. And the first thing is prayer. So, Christ constantly warns his disciples, even in today's gospel, he says a phrase, and we hear this a lot in most of the gospels. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray, lest you fall asleep. Because prayer is not just communicating with him. God knows the power in prayer. It's not just communicating with him. It is being in his very, very near presence. It is a shield. It is a defense for us when we get to know him through prayer. If you think about any relationship and how you naturally get to know someone, what do you do? What do you do when you get to know someone? You spend the whole day, you know, texting them every tedious and agonizing detail of your day. You know, I'm at work, having lunch. You're texting him, letting him know more and more about your day, more and more about your routine. And then at the end of the day, maybe you'll meet up with them or call them just so you can hear their voice. Whatever it is, you're in constant communication with that person. And we should be doing the same with Christ. How can we do that? How can we do that? There's a book by Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God. And in this book, he talks about communicating with God during every activity of the day. For example, he'll talk about washing the dishes. And he'll pray while he's washing the dishes, cleanse my heart, Lord, just as I cleanse the dirt off this dish. I like to think of these prayers as almost invitational prayers, that I'm almost inviting God into our everyday lives. We're inviting God into our everyday lives and every activity that we do throughout the day. And when we do that, we always grow closer and closer to Christ, bringing our hearts into intimacy with the Lord. You know, Brother Lawrence also says, believe me, count each day lost that you don't spend loving God. You know, talking to him, communicating with him. Every day we don't spend communicating with him is a day that's lost. Father Anthony Bloom also says, we don't pray to keep the ceiling from falling on our heads, which means we're not praying so that, you know, the bad things don't happen to us. We're not praying to prevent bad things, problems in our lives. That's inevitable. We trust that God can will deliver us from them. But we pray so that we can learn how to love Christ. We pray that we can learn how to love Christ. If I truly want to grow and to know and to love him, then I will not cease communicating with him through prayer. The second thing we can do is live heaven on earth. You know, the church fathers that comment on this passage today, they always say that heaven is so near to us. Heaven is so close to us. We can taste it. We can feel it. We can almost touch it. We can enjoy our relationship with Christ here on earth. And we sometimes feel as though we are not able to enjoy heaven until we die. And yet, each time we attend the liturgy, we are given a taste of paradise. We're given a glimpse into heaven's windows. But to truly experience it, we have to build our relationship with God and ask Him earnestly that we may enjoy it now, while we're on earth. There's a story I heard recently about a guy who had a friend. And his friend was a nice guy, had a good heart, but his voice wasn't the best. So everyone in the Mass would try and avoid standing next to him because they knew that he didn't have the best of voices. Every time the guy would come in, you know, he'd look around the corner just to make sure he's not coming. If he does come next to him, Yilahwi, you know, he legs it. But one day his friend died. The friend with the bad voice passed away. And at his funeral, the guy was saying, you know, God, why'd you take him away? Why'd you take him? He had such a good heart. And he felt a bit miserable that he didn't treat him that nicely. And then the priest went up, his confession father went up, and he started saying all these miracles that this guy performed in his life, and all these miracles that happened, all these wonderful things that happened in this guy's life. And it struck his friend that this guy lived a life that was so close to Christ. He was enjoying heaven on earth. You know, when he sang in the Mass, you know, he wasn't just singing hymns. He may have known that he didn't have the best voice, but he was singing hymns to his beloved. He was enjoying heaven on earth. And so we should try and do the same. The final thing that we should be aiming to do and to prepare ourselves is repentance. You know, the first word that Christ says in his entire ministry is repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the passage today really follows on that theme, that concept, repentance. Saying, watch, be prepared, turn back to me now. Now is the time to prepare yourselves, to get to know me. John Chrysavius says in his book called Soul Mending, he describes repentance as a new way of loving Christ. A new way of loving Christ. To turn back to Christ, to turn around to Him. You know, we're running in one direction so fast. All we need to do is redirect ourselves towards Christ, and we'll run with the exact same speed towards Him. You know, St. Moses the Black, who lived a life of crime and evil, he did every sin known to man, you know. When he finally turned back to Christ, he was attacked by all these satanic thoughts, and he was constantly attacked by the demons. And he lived a life of repentance for many, many, many years. Until one day, he'd go to his confession father up to 13 times a night. Until one day, his confession father took him up to the mountain and said, let's pray together. And they're praying with each other. And then all of a sudden, his confession father turns around to him and says, look to your left. What do you see? And St. Moses Black looks to his left and he says, I see thousands of demons trying to attack me, trying to grab me. And then he says, now look to your right, what do you see? And he looks to his right and he says, I see legions of angels singing hymns and defending me. And so his confession father told him, stop focusing on those that are trying to attack you and start looking towards those who are defending you. Stop singing with the demons and start singing with the angels. Turn towards the angels. Redirect yourself toward the angels. And so we too should do the same. Redirect ourselves towards Christ. You know, we spend so much time preoccupied with our sin, preoccupied with what we did in the past, that we forget that we have a Redeemer. We forget that that Christ has already saved us, and Christ is saving us. And so to know Him, to love Him, to one day live with Him in eternal life, we must live lives of repentance so long as we live on earth. And I'll just conclude with the saying from St. Augustine. He says this, the first coming of Christ the Lord, God's Son and our God, was in obscurity. The second will be in sight of the whole world. When He came in obscurity, no one recognized Him but His own servants. When He comes openly, He'll be known by both the good and the bad. So what he's saying is, when Christ came the first time, not everyone knew who He was. Not everyone knew that he was God. Not everyone believed Him. Not everyone accepted Him. But when He comes the second time, everyone will know that He is God. Everyone will know that He is King. Everyone will know that He was the creator of the whole universe. Everyone will know who Christ is. But the question we need to ask ourselves today is this. Will He know you? Will He know me? So today, let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in earnest prayer and repentance and ask Him to teach us what it means to know and to love Him, so that when He comes back, He may recognize us and cry out those joyful words, come you that are blessed by my Father, come and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the creation of the world, and glory be to God forevermore. Amen.